Money, looks, status, social media, and beauty standards. Have we become so busy trying to impress every single person that we've forgotten to enjoy our own lives? If every social media platform disappeared tomorrow, how many people would still be confident about the lives they live? Welcome back to Seated with Levo and Thato Rampedi. Super excited about this episode. It's all about our insecurities and how they take away from our joy. Very, very, very interesting conversation. But before I even get into it, how are you, Thato?
You want to say hello to the people? Yeah, I'm good. What's up, guys? Welcome back to a brand new episode, man. You guys have seen these last few episodes have been in partnership with Yogeta, which has been so amazing.
Yeah.
We've been just trying to be positive and just explain how we indulge in the moment. Mm-hmm. And every time we work with the brand, every time we work with someone that we believe in, we try to make sure you guys get something at home too. So we've got two winners for this episode. The first winner is Tadi. She said, I just finished my semester in university after taking a gap year because my plan to go study abroad had fell through at the last moment. I indulged in the moment by sharing a prayer with my family because if it wasn't for their hard work, I'd probably be on my second gap year. So shout out to Tadi, shout out to her family.
Yeah, yo, shout out to her fam. What?
Yeah. And then we've got Zamatuli, 4607, who also won. They said, I indulged in the moment by giving myself permission to be present. Life has taught me that tomorrow isn't promised and that carrying yesterday steals today's joy. So now I celebrate the little things with good music, a gym session that reminds me I'm getting stronger, laughing until my stomach hurts without even taking out a camera and recording.
Wow.
For me, indulging in the moment means choosing gratitude over worry, giving myself grace and allowing myself to truly enjoy where I am instead of constantly thinking about where I should be.
No. Well done to Zama 067-992-32-55-507-8.
That's so beautiful.
Love it. They're indulging in the moment. And we're definitely going to be indulging in the moment because we have a jam-packed podcast for you guys today to talk about how to overcome your insecurities and kind of find your joy in your life.
Yeah.
So shall we get into it?
Before we get into that, let's go into the...
How are you?
Guys, one of my favorite things is like my friends like greeting me like that.
Really?
Like,
how are you?
Yeah, like I think Trumisa does that, Motlahai does that, like my niggas do that. They'll be like,
how are you?
Which is fine. And I mean, we didn't start how are you, but it's like, it just shows that our friends actually watch the podcast.
Yeah, so shout out to them right now, actually.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's always nice to have support in your inner life because some people don't have that support.
Yeah.
They won't even support your business, nothing. Yeah. So
which also makes me feel like the product is good.
Yeah.
Because like if my friends get to see me when they see me, when I consume me, it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah, so, then maybe saying something of value.
So shout out, for me, it's my guys, like shout out Trumisa, shout out Mosh Money, shout out Shadi as well, Shadi watches the podcast.
Big Shadi.
Yeah, shout out to Hey Shadi.
One of the hardest working people in South right now, boy. Mm-hmm. But but just shout out to all the guys, all the ladies, all the friends of Seaton, and of course to you guys who watch us weekly and saying, I feel like this is good again, guys. The podcast is getting spicy again.
You're happy with that comment, man.
It's getting monate again. I can't wait. I wish you guys could drop every day. We will. We will if the money gets up, you know? So,
we're not money driven, but we will if the comments keep flowing.
I
think you and I are driven by different. I feel like you don't see the things you're actually driven by. I don't think
I'm driven by helping people. But under all of that, the money. All right.
So, how are you doing?
Now, how am I doing? We just came off a crazy trip.
Yeah.
Two days. I don't want to say three.
It was 3 days.
3 days.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
12 hours on the road. Four plus five?
You're right, 12 hours.
No, nine hours. Twelve hours on the road. My bad.
Because of traffic. Not traffic made it.
Yeah. 12 hours on the road. Amazing time, quad biking, you know. Trying to go to the safari, the tire popped.
Yeah, quick story. So tell the story. Actually.
Yeah, so we took a safari. They fetch you from your accommodation.
Yeah.
They take you. We're going. We're having the time of our life. You know, the group is super excited. We get to the gate and boop, tire pops. And
the guy as he was driving out, he hits the wheel on the side as he was turning. And it literally like tore his tire.
Yeah, it was like a tire. It literally tore the tire. Yeah.
And then from there, we didn't even get to do the game drive. We ended up changing the tire with him, yeah. and then we drove to Kruger National Park.
Yeah.
We got there, we didn't even do a game drive because the tire put flat again. And then he's like, no, I've got a new wheel coming. Then we were like, dude, we're actually so over this. Like, yeah. take us back home.
But I remember looking at my girlfriend and I said, but don't say I didn't take you to the safari. Because we went to the gate.
Yeah.
Went to the gate of the safari. So yeah. I took her to the safari. So yeah. she mustn't take that away from
she
me.
She saw the Kruger National
yeah,
Park.
Yeah, she saw it. She took it. Yeah. But how are you? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, bro.
Back to business, no?
Yeah, I think holiday was great. Like, I feel like I was working, to be honest. I don't know.
Yeah, same.
Like, we were working. Like, Leo and I just got a new project, so we're working on that project. We were shooting a lot because the Airbnb where we stayed at was actually like a partnership. So they gave us the place for free in exchange for a couple of reels. We don't traditionally do that, but then it's like one of our boys.
Like, we never, actually, never do that.
We get that, we get proposed that all the time.
Yeah.
But we're like, ah, but it's one of our boys' clients. We're like, okay, you know, let's do it. I think there's much power in knowing the direction in which you're going and not deteriorating left and right.
Yeah.
Because now I've been creating this content where I'm very much trying to speak about things that are uncomfortable. Now you see me put a bottle of Julio down my throat.
Savannah Neat.
And a Savannah Neat. Two different tattoos. You get me? But yeah. it's like, it was fun.
Yeah.
But I'm good. I think I'm in a good space. Sita got a new apartment, which is really exciting.
Is that how you like indulging in the moment?
Yeah. So my girlfriend got a new apartment.
Halala.
I think it was pretty obvious to everybody, but the past 6 months, she was basically staying with me. Okay. We never said it. We never posted about it, but it was quite obvious.
Yeah.
So now, like, you know, I've been
staying with That's not Fatin said. That's Fatin lay down.
Fatin lay 100%. 100%. Our relationship was still so new, right? But anyway, so now she got in her own place.
Yeah.
A stunning place, not too far from me. Has a paddle court, so I'm very excited for that. I might play paddle tonight.
Oh, yes.
You're invited.
Oh, indulging in the moment. I'm indulging in the moment. I love that.
You get me? So now I'm getting used to, like, having all that time back.
Yeah.
Which has been really, like, nice. I think she's such an affirming partner. Like, she sent me such a, like, yo. If I could read you the message, let me read the message.
Read it, man. Why not, bro?
It was actually really sweet because I had just gotten home. I think she could see that I was a little bit sad when I was like,
I love you.
She said,
Text me when you get home.
Yeah. So before I get into bed, I just want you to say thank you so much for the past weekend. I know things have been a little bit different lately with me moving and you being
back. Please stop. I want to record this because I want to show other people what other people are sending after vacation trips. Yeah, you may go.
Yeah. So before I go to bed, I just wanted to say thank you so much for the past weekend. I know things have been a little different lately with me moving and you being back into the apartment on your own.
I think my phone's recording. Wait, oops.
I know you've told me it gets lonely sometimes and I really hope that doesn't last too long. Just know that I'm always thinking about you. I also know that I'm not always the best at showing it when I'm distracted or busy with friends or caught up with whatever I'm doing. But please don't mistake that for me not thinking about you because I am. Thank you for always showing up for me, even when you weren't in the best space yourself. I appreciate you so much for that. I miss you too. I love you so much. And cheers to this new chapter and cheers to us figuring things out, even when they are uncomfortable. Good night. I love you. So that was like,
Jola Pro Max, Lina. I'm saying you should have Pro Max. That's a nice thing to get.
I mean, not even me myself, I was surprised. I was like, wow. Because like, obviously I'm back in my apartment. I'm like, okay. Like everything, my cat is gone. The cat is gone.
Oh my goodness.
No, I had a cat.
The cat is gone.
Girlfriend is gone.
The lights are off.
The first thing I do is switch out my electric blanket now. That's all I can do. But then that message kind of like, made me relax. So I think one thing that makes people uncomfortable, potentially sad, It's lack of the unknown. So it's like, does she miss me? Mm. Is she fine? Is she like, you know, like what's happening?
Does she feel the way I feel?
Yeah. So not being in your friend's partner's thoughts can really be disheartening, which is why it's so important to have a positive outlook. But when you have a positive outlook and then you're met with this,
I went
to sleep so peacefully. I woke up peacefully.
Times two.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's so different, like staying alone, by the way. Like, before I wake up and it's like, even though I'm getting ready for myself, it's like when someone's still sleeping, when someone, like, it's just, it's different.
Consideration.
Yes, but that's like, I wake up, it's me.
Curtain open, boom.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Fresh air.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Fire playing on the speaker.
Anything you want.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in Zimbali in my head. But yeah, I'm good. We had an amazing meeting, Mbali and I. We bought Ruby too, because Ruby's been quite great at what she's been doing. She's been handling the team well. So we bring her into like the strategic meetings.
Yeah.
Right. And then excited today to obviously share with you for the greater part of the company.
AGM, yo!
Annual general meeting and to share with Tawang and Kini too. But I'm good. Like, I think everything is okay. I've got this new mindset that money must flow. Mm. Money can't come and park.
Yeah.
So before I had this mindset that like when money came into my account, I had to save it and put it away.
And hold it and put it
in. Yeah, but I was like, let the money come in, flow, let it go to wherever it needs to go to, and let us build, and then it will come back.
Yeah. So I mean, that's perception of money, hey?
Yeah, that's perception. So I'm like, I'm letting money flow. Before I used to be so sad when I see my bank statement, my bank balance go down.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, nah, money must flow because it's working. That's the point of it.
Yeah.
As long as I'm still happy, I'm still eating. It's a tool.
Not a master.
Not a master.
It's a tool.
And it was mastering.
It's a shitty master, but an amazing tool.
Amazing tool.
Yeah.
So not treat money like it's my bitch.
Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah. Because if you're the slave to the money, oh my goodness,
you
man.
Get me.
Yeah. But
I'm great.
I want to hear from We are also joined by
I need Kenny to add like a sound effect before Spooky Lady.
Spooky Lady, how are you? Spooky Lady is also in the stool. How are you doing?
I'm good. I think I'm getting out of I was in a very weird space mentally.
Yeah.
But I'm getting out of that.
Yeah.
I think church really helped me a lot. Yesterday, I spent literally the whole day at church with my community. So it just reminded me that, you know, I have people around me. I have a community. I have people that love me and that can uplift me. But yeah, crazy thing happened also yesterday during church. We did this game, pick it up and preach. And I had to make
it. Nah, church people are crazy. Pick it up and what? That sounds like a rap battle in church. But
you can preach the best.
Pick it up, preach. I pick up the Genesis. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
So you had to pick a random item and preach about it or link it to a verse and whatever.
What is your item? Like when you say item, like an object or like item, like a line from the Bible or like what?
No, like an object.
Okay. What is your object?
I got a rope, bro.
Okay, what did you say?
That's a nice. I can do many metaphors. Let go. You can do many.
What did you say?
So I basically went with the analogy of a rope can be used for many things, but people use it to hang stuff. Also, life can beat you so bad that you want to take your own life, but instead of using that rope to take it, to take your life, give your life to somebody that will take care of it, give it to somebody that will hold you and care for you and all of these things. And then I referenced the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She was going through it for years and years and years and years and end. And instead of taking her life, she gave it to somebody that was let me care for you because I'm your Lord. So she touched the hem of Jesus's garment. That was her thing of giving my life to Jesus and putting my faith in Jesus. So
beautiful.
What was the, can I ask a question? What was the most the controversial object that was hi boo?
I saw there was a rope, there was tissue.
Oh, tissue. I don't know what I would say for tissue. But yeah, okay. And then there was, what else was there?
What's the other object? I can't remember. I think there was a cup also. But yeah, that's what I remember.
Well, you can see we all indulge in the moment. That you know what I mean? Yeah. Good to hear that. I haven't been to church in 2 weeks. So just hearing that you're giving me the church energy makes me feel a little bit
better. Yeah.
I can go back home soon. Yeah. But anyways, great to indulge in the moment. Let's finally get into the podcast. So today I wanted to talk about insecurities, right? Because you know how our worth is measured in everything except your character. So when you meet people and new people, the number one question is, we figure out is, where do you live? What school did you attend? Your university prestige, your accent, iPhone versus Android. What car do you drive?
Yeah.
The clothes you wear. Which malls do you shop at? Your following on social media. And of course, the number one question in South Africa, your job title.
Yeah, what do you
do? Right? So,
what do you do for a living?
Yeah. So I wanted to start the conversation and say what are some of the things that you feel like immediately people judge you on the moment you introduce your character and your story? Give me.
I think being on social media.
Being on social media,
I think people have a preconception that people on social media think...
That's a big one, eh?
They think that they're famous. We don't think that we're famous or popular.
At all.
We really just... And that's me and my inner circle. We just we're just creating. yeah. and sharing our opinions. Like, I feel like we're creators at core, we're storytellers, and like we're artists.
Yeah.
And this is our artistry.
This is our medium.
This is our medium of expression, you know? So I think people usually think that like, yo, otipona, like, especially with my hand too. Like, if I'm with my girl, like, and we walk into a space, sometimes it's like, ooh, that people are even rude to my hand low-key because it's like, let me be rude first before you're rude to me.
Mm.
So yeah, so like, yeah.
Celebrity culture, basically. I want to say, what's it called? I would say like me saying I went to an all-boys school private school.
I went to St. Benedict's. you're a Benny's boy. Like automatic you're rich. Like automatic
as soon as
you're
say
rich.
You went to a private school, you are a baller. And it's like, and that's when you kind of see like inequality in South Africa. You're like, damn, like actually going to a private school is like a huge, massive privilege in South Africa because majority of kids don't go to private schools and etc. They go to public schools. But we all end up at the same university. Unless you have the money to pay to get into university. That's when I would mention those ones. But so anyways, with that starting, right? I want to talk about...
like I suffer from pretty privileged too.
Okay. Spoko lady, is there anything that you feel like you are judged on specifically? Can be anything.
No, actually.
No?
No.
So you feel like when people meet you, they're just like, wow, like this is just a non-judgy person. You can't judge this person.
I mean... but honestly, you have
no privilege. Like,
I don't think I do. Maybe because I don't see it.
Yeah.
I think she has privilege because she's Christian. So, you know, if you're Christian, you're loud about it. There's like an automatic...
Yeah.
Being judged about
being Christian. You've never been judged about being Christian.
And it can be positive. And it can be positive, not negative. Like, because you're Christian, I now view you like this.
Yes.
So, like, are there any preconceptions based off the things that you do that you aren't, that you are aware or not aware about?
Yeah.
Like, for example, Lebo's extremely funny online. Yeah. So now when they see him in person,
and I'm not funny.
And it's not funny. It's like they think something is wrong. Or they, you know. Okay. Some people might even be attracted to him because of his jokes.
Yeah, and then they find out in real life I'm not funny. It's so crazy. It's only the camera. When the camera's just on, I say, quing.
So nothing.
You can't think of one that you're like, wow, my whole life, these people always judge me on this thing.
Maybe that. Maybe being Christian. Because I have a different... speak of friends. Some go to church, some are like deep core in Christianity, some are not.
Yeah.
So maybe that, but yeah.
So the intensity of your Christian life can sometimes be judged, but not you being Christian.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
okay, cool. But we do live in Johannesburg, right? And I feel like in South Africa, Joburg has the biggest status culture, right? So there's hierarchy about your money and all that stuff, right? And all of this, right? Who we are, how we were raised, build into what I like to call, insecurities, basically, right? It's the things that we cannot accept about ourselves that make us feel a bit unhappy about something if you're in a public space, or it might even derive from a way of learning from your household that you're like, okay, cool. For example, Tato likes to mention the excitement thing, that we weren't allowed to get excited at home.
Yeah.
So now he revels in excitement, but it was an insecurity. So that can be a form of insecurity / trauma. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask both of you, have you ever, and this is now, obviously we're all going to be human and say yes, but have you ever been insecure? And where did that come from? I can go first.
I'm not going. And I think I spoke about it.
I feel like we all want to, everyone has a story immediately, no?
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah.
I mean, you guys know me on my Instagram. I post these short form content pieces that like speak to feelings and emotions and trying to understand.
Yeah.
And I was unpacking emotions on one of the videos. And I think I spoke about it on the previous episode too.
Yeah.
And jealousy was an emotion that I was unpacking.
Yeah.
And I was like, jealousy is essentially showing you something that you're in denial of. Jealousy is showing you something that you want, but you're in denial of wanting it.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying? And I think that then, the next step is then the insecurity. So jealousy, insecurity. So for me, I used to be really jealous of like extremely wealthy people that are like very, very young. Because I'd be like, yo, dude, this person's so young. Yeah. Like, you know, and then it makes me insecure. Like, am I moving fast enough? Am I learning fast enough? Am I consuming fast enough?
Nice one, yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? And then am I actioning out fast enough? And then I became jealous of them because I was in denial that I was in denial of the fact that I know I'm not working hard enough.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like you make, insecurity is like it can be also the excuses we make in our lives about what the things that we
want
to be.
What we actually
want. What we want to become, the character that we want to exhibit.
Yeah.
But it's the excuses that we make. It's like, oh no, but I'm shy.
I'm even like for the longest time, designer, I used to be like, yo, dude, designer's so expensive. Like, why would you spend like 20, 30 bands on a shoe?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And like, I was actually jealous because I wanted to be able to buy the shoe, the 20-30k on a shoe and not feel it.
Yeah.
Do you get me?
It's kind of like when people like say like, hey, those people that are rich, you can tell they are so evil. The money is the root of all evil. How do you know? You never lived like that. Like, you never lived in that billionaire's life. You know what I mean? How can we look at all the millionaires in the world and be like, these people are the most evil people and the cynical people in the world? And then, no, bro.
I do think you just want to be rich.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I do think you just want to be rich, but I also
do you think these people
I've been learning because I've had this dream that, like, you know, the people I start off with, like, even friendship wise in university, I must be with them forever.
And then
as you grow in business and you keep moving, you start realizing that, okay, cool. You're having this dream of bolting with people from the beginning until the end. It's unrealistic, especially if you're trying to scale at a specific
level.
So I've started to see like rich, really rich people, they view people that they work with as like low-key commodities.
As tools,
and people that help them get to their dream and their vision.
Yeah.
Obviously, they must have certain, like...
It's called human resource.
That's
what it's called. That's why HR is called human resource, because the humans in the company are the resource.
And obviously, they have to have values that are similar to you and everything. Yes. But once there's like a certain feeling that, no, man, our values are mismatching or something, it's an immediate move on. Let's put someone that aligns to the greater vision.
Yeah.
So I think rich people are evil because they think like that. That's my point. I think it's evil to think like that. And I feel like it's evil, but it's also the same way that you scale. It's the same way that you grow a business to billionaire status.
To be analytical is the best way to.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about me, like insecurity wise. Like when I realized I had an insecurity. Same thing. I think black men, we're all going to have a similar story of success.
Yeah.
Graduating, having, you know, as I mean, when we all kids and we're playing on the playground in high school, and what are you going to become? I'm going to become a doctor. And I'm going to become a principal. You know what I mean? And what do you picture when you're saying all of these things? That your life is going to be perfect, right? You're picturing that your life, you're going to be married, you're going to have kids playing in the... You don't picture the electricity saying, beep, 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 or the fridge being empty, or the... Yeah. You know what I mean? All these elements, right? Basically, what I'm trying to say, just to say that it mustn't deeper too much as black men, but success was a huge... insecurity for me because I was graduated and I wanted to be in the corporate space. When I got into the corporate space, I realized that corporate is extremely competitive. And we're living in South Africa where 10 people have a degree, one get hired. You know what I mean? So big insecurity in me. Should I study more? Did I study the wrong thing? I should have never done that thing. I wasted my university life. Why did I choose those subjects in high school? Everyone says I should have done IT. Everyone says I should have coded.
Yeah.
I should have hacked.
What do you think? When you were a kid, like you can go primary school, high school, even in uni.
Yeah.
Like, what are the actual reasons why you chose your career path? And let's say, because I know you wanted to be an actor for a period of time.
Yeah, long
time.
So, like,
why did you want to be an actor?
I wanted to be an actor because I enjoyed the emotions that movies gave me as a child. And I wanted to give those emotions to other people. So I wanted to participate in producing the emotions.
So you were aware of the influence?
Yes, I'm extreme. I was from a young age. Yeah. I was like, wow, these people are telling a story. Why? To entertain the viewer. The viewer then gets this. They know how to pull out a certain emotion. And I was like, wow, this is actually such a science. It's an art. And I really wish I could be in that game to do that.
Yeah.
Then you hear about a doctor. And the doctor drives a GLA. Now, GLA Mercedes is something very expensive. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And you're about the accountant at PW What or Morgan Hoo. I mean, these company names are ridiculous.
What and Sons.
Deloitte. What is it? Deloitte. Yeah, you know what I mean? Deloitte. But yeah, you hear about those guys and you're like, wow, like, I want to be like them now. I don't want to follow my dreams. I don't want to. So you become insecure that your dream might become too hard or... But not the point.
Was there ever, like, before you made that comparison, was there ever a season where it was never about the money for you? Like, you choosing the acting part, like, you didn't look at the...
Nah. I don't think we have a choice as black people here.
So the money was always a factor?
I, that's what I'm saying. Like, do we ever have a choice as black people to not think about money? Do we? I mean, like every room we step into, we are competing against ourselves and other races and et cetera. You know what I mean? So from a young age, money was always important. In our household, Papa would talk about money. Mm. So it was always money-based. Mm. That's why I said maybe that's the reason. I was like, wow, this thing might not have money. Mm. So I'm insecure. I don't want to become... But
so then maybe one of the greatest insecurities we have is the lack of money.
Yeah, lack of money and lacking believing in oneself too, that you could do it. You know, there's a thing that like being
capable.
Yeah, like, you know, there's... One of my friends wants to do music videos for a living, basically, right? And we were having a conversation. I was like, dude, but there's people that do it, so you know that it can be done. Mm. And that's such a hollow thing to say, but a heavy thing to say as well. Because it's also like business. Mm. Why are there people that are successful? It means that people, it's possible.
There's a blueprint, go find it.
If you see someone as a manager, you know, it's possible to become a manager. With every body part you have. I have the brain, you have a brain, I have a brain, you have a, I have a tongue, you have a tongue. What is your capabilities? Mm. Then I must then learn, you know what I mean?
Upskill.
Yeah. Yo, okay, that's me. Yo, jeez, yo. Spooker lady, the first time you ever felt an insecurity, you're like, yo, what the hell's happening? Why am I feeling so negative about oneself?
My insecurities came from like bullying. I got bullied a lot.
Yeah.
From late primary into high school, up until like grade 10. So yeah, it was always a thing of like, you ain't shit type of thing. You can't do anything, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's where my insecurity stemmed from.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
This might be a little bit insensitive, but I was never bullied in school and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I always want to ask people, because I hear people always say I was bullied in high school. It's like, when did you realize that these people don't like me to these people are bullying me? Like, what's the shift? Is it a thing of the first time that, oh girl, you're not that? And it's like, oh, they don't like me. And then it happens again and again and again. That's what then becomes bullying, né?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So when did you realize that you're like, damn, I'm getting bullied?
Like, you see, when you're always like picking on a person, like, yeah, you can do it once, twice, okay, cool, sharp, but every single day,
yeah,
did like, no bro, like leave me alone.
Yeah. And what did that like cause? So like, what insecurity did it breed from that bullying? What would they say to you that got in, that seeped in?
Yo,
Spooku.
Are you in or you out?
Are you in or you out? Are you seated or you not seated? I just told you my father only cared about money when I was growing up. I said out loud on the mic. Are you seated or you not seated, my sister? No, but yeah, like what came out?
Okay, firstly, the biggest one was like, I'm not enough. Damn, right? Yeah. Which is why I think also I felt like I had to like do extra. That's where my people pleasing came from,
because yeah,
I felt like I had to do like over and beyond to get someone to like me, you know, because I always had that thing of like, I'm not enough for this person, I'm not enough for like my class and all of these things. So that was like the biggest one that like I carried up until like, yeah, now.
You know, it's so crazy because this actually goes into my next segment and how insecurities take away from our joy, right? So now that will happen, and then we develop what I call like these negative skills. So people pleasing, I'm too shy. Because when you speak, something happened,
yeah,
and you are like, you know what? I will never do that shit again. Ever be a public speaker again. It's not for me. I'd rather just be quiet, you know? And these negative skills that come into our lives, they slowly take away from who we really like are at our core, which is these beautiful human beings, worthy of expression, worthy of, you know, joy, love, to know that one is enough. Because who is another person to tell you they're not enough? They don't own the world. You know what I mean? So I want to ask you, like, let's start with you. The starting steps to be like, you know what, dude, I identify this insecurity and I choose not to live with it. It's not my character. I'm not shy. I'm not introverted. I have just been traumatized my whole life. I want to do content, but I'm shy. No, you're not shy, girl. You've just been denied the stage for so long. Maybe people pushed you off. Mm. You know what I mean? But how do we overcome to say, you know what, I'm worthy of this thing?
Yeah, I've overcome so many insecurities, but I don't even know how I started and how it happened. I think one of the biggest insecurities was like speech. I used to have a stutter growing up. I used to speak way too fast.
Yeah.
I used to get like every time I'd speak from people. I still do to this day, but it's significantly better. And I think with that, it's like I then became an introvert.
Yeah.
Then I was in rooms where like I wouldn't speak.
Yeah.
I was in rooms where I could have, you know, grabbed opportunities with both hands, but then I would be like, hey, let me just keep quiet. Mm. I used to push this thing of like, nah, my work speaks for itself. Like I don't have to like kiss ass or do sales or like, you know, email or call, like, or like overperform. All I have to do is just produce good work. And I realized that actually helped me back for a long time. Like I would have been probably way more
successful
now if I just was more like, you know, intentional. So I think the moment I realized that me saying I'm introverted when I'm not, and it was because of the fear, because I was denied, you know,
the stage.
When I realized it was taking away opportunities for me, but then I was like, okay, whoa.
Hectic, eh?
Like now I'm not becoming the best at what I do. Now I'm not getting the opportunities that I think I deserve. Now I'm not excelling. I'm not getting, you know, the material possessions that I want. I'm not even getting the intrinsic things that I want, you know, because I can't even love myself because I can't even give myself the chance to speak.
Damn.
Once I realized it was taking away so much, I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to die. People are going to die. Everyone's going to die. So you get what I'm saying? Everyone's going to die.
Yeah.
So like, let me try. I mean, I used to even be like, it's like.
Negative skills is like mold, bro. Like yeah. It goes into everything like slowly.
Like you see, even when I'm driving, man.
Yeah.
I used to like love singing, but now when I stop and I'm seeing cars next to me, I'm like, yo, they might be looking at me, let me keep quiet.
You see how it like.
Yeah, and it's like, why am I taking away from me living? And it's like, who are these people that are going to be watching me, you know? So as soon as I realized that, no, man, I'm not able to live a life for myself, the things that I want to do because of what I think people are thinking. That's insane. Even with my girlfriend, I used to be very much like anti, like PDA, touching, you know, yeah, too much. Because I'm like, dude, like, what's people gonna think? But now, obviously, I do it in a very demure way.
Yeah.
Like, I'll hold my girlfriend's hand, I won't think about it. Yeah. And it's so funny, like, once you start seeing people around you do things that you thought were like lame, it's like, oh shit, so this thing was normal. You just didn't do it. So yeah, so I think when I started realizing that it was taking away from me too much, man. And for me, I think it was opportunity related, and then also obviously death. I think once somebody's quite significant in your life dies, you realize that, damn, like, you know? Like, I used to be too insecure to go visit my grandfather because I was like, oh, such a big language barrier.
Yeah.
And like, he's, like, one, my grandfather used to speak like deep Tswana, right? Yeah. And we can hear Tswana, but he couldn't really hear us. And our Tswana was like, not the greatest, but he could hear us.
Yeah, he could hear us, but could it wouldn't be like. It
wasn't like a back and forth conversation.
It wasn't like, how are you? How was your day? You know? Yeah. It'd be like, go fetch that thing. Yes. Okay, how are you? I'm good. Yeah. How are you? Good. Not like a deep.
Yeah. But he was like a grandfather. Like, he was such a lover.
Yeah.
Like, he loved so much. And it's like.
Yeah.
I'd overthink visiting him because I'd be like, what are we going to talk about, you know? Yeah. But it's like, if I just visited him,
yeah,
that was enough because I still speak about the love that he has today.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
With the short
experiences. Yeah. So I should have went there, even if it's like a thing and I go and I service him and then we watch the news. But it's like, that's a memory that I can't go back to, you know?
Yeah. Like sometimes I'm like so grateful that mama used to be like, yo, you guys are vying there, you guys are vying there. Because I'd be like, oh, dude, I'm not going to vie there. There's no Wi-Fi. Because you know, you go home, you're like, there's no Wi-Fi, boy. There's no Wi-Fi there. Like, I see, boy. There's no, what am I going to do there? You know what I mean? But then when you go and you finally immerse yourself and you're walking with your cousins and you're buying ice cream, you come back home, you spend time with your...
Yeah.
That world, for me, is just like such a peak, beautiful, like, world, you know, that I really do miss also. You know what I mean? Like,
also, like, when we used to visit our grandparents' place, because this conversation is based off of us judging each other based off of our material possessions, essentially. Yeah. And how our material possessions are making us insecure.
Yeah, yeah.
And the life we live. Whenever we used to go back to the hood, like, I wouldn't feel my character being judged based off of my material things. Like, cool, like, rich kid, sharp, coming back. You know what I'm saying? Because you're from the town, coming to the hood, sharp. But outside of that, like, everybody treats each other based off of their character.
Yeah, of who you are.
You get what I'm saying? Like, so you know, okay, cool. You know, Bakang is the most reliable person. You know, if you call him, he can help you, whatever. You know, okay, cool. If I go to this person, he's extremely funny, so I enjoy his jokes. Yeah. Okay, this person's a great dancer. That
if you're a drunk, you're a drunk, dude. If you're crazy, you're crazy. If you're crazy, you know, you're batshit crazy. In the if you're kind, you know, you're...
Super kind. So I think I really appreciated those moments because it's like, yo, we get to be around each other based off of our characters.
Yeah.
Because you're sitting out under a tree,
yeah,
eating fruits and vegetables and food from the land that surrounds you. Like, it's beautiful. Like, you're killing the
animal. I don't know, but this was a moment where you just basically opened up about how much you miss back home. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Just like, yeah. So it's just, that, yeah. What are we talking about?
It's okay.
What are we talking about?
It is crazy, but everyone's judged by their character, not what they have.
Exactly. Unlike Jersey. So I'm saying unlike Jersey. It's like, it's not like, and then when you come, and I know this wasn't a part of your questions now.
Yeah, yeah, but it's.
But when you come to Joburg, it becomes so hectic because now it's like.
What do you
I
have?
I mean, the places I frequent, because I frequent like really nice restaurants. So like I frequent like Temple, I frequent like a bunch of different nice restaurants. And before, like I remember I used to like, and it was so silly. I'd get into the space. Number one, like I'm driving a Suzuki. So I'd park my car far.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, ish, I'm going to just be seeing a line of Mercedes Benzes and a line of BMWs. Because the mind is sick. The mind is like not okay. Yeah. Then you get there, I'm coming in my H&M two-piece. And then you're seeing LV, Gucci, Prada, the devils are dancing.
The bucket hat.
You know what I'm saying? Galaxy Boy here and there. But you don't even see Galaxy. And then it's like, and then it makes you think, it used to make me automatically respect the people that were in designer.
Yeah.
And it's like, why am I respecting them? Because I haven't even gotten to know them. I don't know their values. I don't know what they what
such
they
different
have.
Values from Kohai. You get me? And,
then eventually my life elevates and then I start wearing the designer. And then I get the nice car that I want. Then I get into the space and then I realize that everyone there is full of shit.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So it's like your whole life you chase. Let me be a part of the circle. Let me go, you know, work hard and get these things and like, you know, be able to sit in the room and be comfortable. Then you realize, okay, cool. When I now engage these people, it's just a bunch of empty heads.
It says here, we spend so much time chasing the next thing that we forget where we are.
Yeah.
This is to Spooku Lady here. You know, do you feel like you've ever achieved something that you're like, I kid you not, prayed on your knees for, but you never celebrated it?
I don't think so, because when I like started doing things, going for things I want, etc., I'm very big on like celebrating every little thing in your life.
Where does that stem from? Like, where did you learn to do that? Did you guys celebrate everything when you were growing up? Birthdays, no. None. So where did you learn
at
how to?
At home, it was, no, keep it going.
Yeah.
Because I think it's because I didn't want to like live my life like that. Like when I left Limpopo, it was a thing of, I want better for myself. I want to be more appreciative of the people around me. I want to celebrate the people around me more, which is why, like, if it's someone's birthday, some like little achievement. For example, I'll make a stupid example. Tato had a talk at Grind last year, and I was like so happy. I was like, oh my God. I got him like a plant and a card. It's like, oh wow, congratulations. Like, it's like little things like that. Like, even if it's like, not something big, but then like I'm very big on celebrate whatever is happening.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to continue living my life of like, oh, this is done. Okay, sharp, on to the next.
I
want to
say like that skill of knowing to celebrate, such an important thing that I feel like some people don't have. You know what I mean? Like, we chase these goals one after other. We put these impossible KPIs in a month. I'm going to change my life in a month. I'm going to become skinny in a month. I'm going to become a gym head in a month. When you've never done those things. It's like, bro, you put all this pressure on yourself that when you finally achieve the goal, you are so fatigued from wanting the goal that you don't even want to celebrate it. Yeah. You're tired of it. I remember moving into my flat, I washed everything off a month. You know, guys, you don't have furniture. Watch everything over a laptop for 4 months, 5 months to get a monitor. 6 months. And I say, I want a TV. I can't wait to have a TV. You go get the TV. The TV says $100 million. And then it says you also have to get a license to own this thing. So not only do I have to get a license to watch my television, I have to pay $1 million for this TV.
Yeah.
And it's like there. But it's like, what? I can afford this? That's what I should be saying in my mind. I can afford the TV.
Yeah.
I can afford the new couch. I can afford to spoil myself at the end of the day with some sushi.
Mm.
Like, why are we always chasing but never living?
Yeah. I think we need to really be careful with that. Hey, I think there's still power in obvious, and I'm not taking away from what you're saying.
There's a lot of power in chasing, bro.
Yeah, no. So I'm just saying, I agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say that, like, we need to find that balance because it's very healthy to want to be a part of the next, the next tier in life. But it's like, how do we ensure that we are actually appreciating the current tier that we're in?
Wow.
Because that was the previous tier without taking away from, the grind and the want of the next tier.
Yeah.
And I think Spooku Lady says she does it well. Like, I think having those dreams and those visions and those aspirations and then praying towards them and then, like, you know, literally meditating on them, And at the same time, every time something happens, being joyous and celebrating, I think is a great way to tackle it. Because then it's like, you want those things still, you work towards, you work towards them. When they come, you celebrate them, but you know, you still know that's not the end goal.
Yeah. It's continuous.
Yeah. Because I feel like people that are, and okay, let me say for me, I would never want the state in my life, no matter where I am, to be the end goal.
Yeah.
Like, even if I am driving, like I've got a, let's say I've got a Lamborghini Urus, I've got three beautiful children, stunning wife, like houses, I'm still going to want more. Like, and I think it's good to know that, but also good to know what your enough is. Because I know for me, it's like, dog, if I have enough time for my wife and it's enough time for my kids and my family, and I still have capacity to do more, I'm still going to want to do more. Mm. I'm not going to retire at 65, 55 doing nothing. That does, like, I actually enjoy working.
Yeah.
I enjoy coming up with innovation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it's very important to know how, like, where you categorize in that. Because I know where I categorize, you get what I'm saying? Mm. Other people are like, no, dude, once I have the 50K per month, like, that is, I'm fine. G. And that's also good to understand, because once you know that, then you can focus on the other things that matter to you.
Yeah.
So you can focus on going to your kids, soccer matches, you know, taking your wife on dates, helping your wife around. But it's like, if you don't know where you're going, you're always going to be confused. But if you know where you're going, then it's fine at least.
A question to all of you, and I think that you guys can also answer in the comment section right now, like, a pressure that you refuse to carry and, like, you're like, no more, I will not carry this pressure anymore. I don't want to think of it like this anymore. So I'll go first. Thinking that I have to be successful, I have to do it alone. I've removed that pressure. To think that you are some sort of savior complex, that you're going to go into this life and going to figure everything out one man, and you're never going to ask for help, and you're going to fight like you're in a sewer when you have loved ones who love you, and you know what I mean? Like, don't do this life thing alone when you're so covered in love. You know, it's like, that might not be a message for everyone, but I know there's going to be one person that's like, fuck, bro, like, I actually do not, like, rely on people. I don't rely on people at all. And I want you to open your heart to relying on the right people. Mm. People that you respect, people that skills that you have identified that you want to have.
Mm.
You know, they say fools learn from experience, but the wise learn from history.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Learning from other people's history and stuff. So open your heart to learning about other people's journeys so you can pick skills and stuff. You know?
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Like, so we were in the strategy meeting last week. And Kitu, she works at I Am An Entrepreneur. She's the MD. Shout out to you, Kitu. She was saying that, like, she's basically asking us questions to see how Mbali and I and the team want the company to move in the direction it needs to mold. And then we were like, okay, cool. We really want the team to grow together. Yeah. Like, we don't want it to be a thing of, like, Mbali is learning all these great skills, and then, like, Tawang and Kedin and Ruby and myself are staying at a specific level. Yeah. And then now it's like, when it's time for the company to grow and hire, we hire a boss for Kenny.
Yeah.
It's like, we want Kenny to be able to fit in the position of being boss. The head of his department. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? And then we were like, one thing we want to start doing every Monday is, like, we don't know if it's going to be one person or everyone for a little bit. You need to speak about what you learned that week. Like, in the past 7 days, what skills have you learned and what have you enjoyed? It can even be 5 minutes. Like, oh, you know, this week I was actually on ManyChat. ManyChat is this automation that helps you, you know, respond to what. And I found this, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Even if your team doesn't understand it at all, you don't know what you can spark in someone, how you can help someone, how you can grow someone. And I remember the lady was like, yeah, you guys can do it for 2 hours. I was like, yo, 2 hours, what a waste of time. And she's like, no, you're investing. I know time is sensitive, but you're investing. Yeah. You need to start viewing it as if you're investing. Like, sometimes, you know, we don't understand the power of just aligning in values, like how much they can shape and shapeshift the entire company. But yeah, my point was I was into what you're saying.
Oh, I see it. I wanted to also just, and kind of think that before I check what's our timing looking like there, Tawang, before I go for, Okay, cool. The next thing I wanted to say, and kind of leaning towards the healing steps of all of this and all that stuff, but this is basically the last boundary of it, right? Limitations. We put these limits on ourselves.
Yeah.
I think daily. I'm too tired to.
Yeah.
Or I'll be successful by. Or by this time, I should have this much money in my account. If your money is 500 and less by the 15th of January, you're like, what the hell? I'm a failure. I don't have enough money. You know what I mean? So these, I'm going to go to gym 7 days in the week. 4 hours in a day. These unrealistic limits. How can we help people to say to themselves, dude, be kind to yourself, have some bloody grace. Obviously, get things done.
Yeah.
But your limits must be a bit more kind and serving towards your purpose.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, I might even shy, like, I might move a bit left. But I think it's really important for a human being to understand that they are in control.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, like, for example, I am Christian. I pray to God. Yeah. God intervenes when he can. Like, when we pray to him, he assists. Yeah. But it's also a very big mindset thing.
Yeah.
When I speak and I pray to God, I'm also planting seeds in my mind. And I'm using the God, I'm using the body and the Holy Spirit that he left me with to really tackle the day.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment you understand that, for example, today I was like, what, 10 minutes late. The moment I realized that I am late because of myself and not external things, that's bad. That's going to be a moment where you start to realize who's in power.
Like, yeah, fix it.
When you say, okay, cool, I earn 1,000 rand a month.
Yeah.
You earn 1,000 rand a month because of yourself.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying?
And your skills.
It's like, I look this specific way. My hair looks like this. You know, I don't have that many friends.
I dress like this.
People don't like me. You know, I don't have these skills. I have these skills. Everything that you embody is about you. Mm. It's based off of you and based off the decisions you made your entire life.
Mm.
Yes, we come from different backgrounds and that obviously affects how fast we can get things and taste skills, and all these different things. But from understanding your environment and your peers in your environment, you are in control. Everything is happening because of you.
Mm.
So you demand, you earn the life you have with your family, everything, like, is because of you. And there's, of course, certain factors, like, if you've got a shit dad, a shit boyfriend, a shit partner, that person, but then you are you are choosing to feel the emotions of what they are causing because you're staying.
Mm.
Like, sometimes you must lose your dad, lost a shit partner, like, everything you're experiencing, everything you're feeling, everything you have is because of you.
Yeah.
So the moment you come to peace with that, is the moment you can start now tackling the world and you know that you're in control.
Mm.
Now you must understand the power of micro steps, the power of putting in 15 minutes into something, 20 minutes into something, an hour into something. You have to see, okay, cool. If I learn these 5 skills, I'm going to be 10% good at all of them. But if I focus on these 2, I'll be 50-50.
It's kind of like cups.
Yeah. You pour, you need to know where you're pouring. Do you get what I'm saying?
It's like 10% and you pour here and it's like, but you only have a certain amount. Yeah.
So the moment you realize that, then, like, I think the insecurities things will be fixed. The jealousy things will be fixed. The material things will be fixed. Because if you think, okay, cool, I want to wear this type of clothing.
Mm.
It's like, and you don't have it. You are the reason why you don't have it. So what are you doing to go and go get it? You get what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying, but I want to just, I'm adding now, I'm layering. Yeah, so I agree with everything Tato said, but I just wanted to be too, like, robotic. Like, you're like, yo, step 1, 2, I need to do this. I did failure. No, like, have an emotional connection to your journey. Have an emotional connection to your limitations, your free will, your choices. Have emotional connection. If I say to myself, if I get the podcast done, the AGM done, and then I go home, I post a video, then I get something done, I get those, and I finish all those 5 items by the end of the day, I have considered myself a good day. I can say that. Mm. Why can't I say that's a good limit? No, if I get 5 things done, I had a good day. That's a great limit. That's an exciting day. You know,
I think there's even too much power in starting your day with a to do list.
Yes,
starting your day with like a, and it's like, and you have to be true to yourself. Like, if I achieve the things that I wrote, and I do mine in the beginning of every week.
Yeah,
I don't do it every day.
I do it every day.
Yeah, I do mine in the beginning of every week. Because then I judge my things off of weeks. Because days are so up and down. Then I say, if I can achieve these things in the week, there is no reason why I cannot relax on Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. There's no reason why I should be upset. There's no reason why I should be stressed.
Like, you having that emotional connection to that healthy, that, like, I'm going to relax.
Yeah.
That's a healthy emotional connection you're having to your limits.
Yeah.
You know? I just don't want people to be in this, like, red, green, you're not good enough. Wake up, 6 a.m. I need to break the chain, break the loop, break. No, dude, whoa. Wake up and say, I love myself. And then do the push-ups, bro. Yeah, you know what I mean? Don't be something just like, you know, we try to create these, like, society makes us machines, man. And we're so human. Let's not forget our humanness in everything, in the way we work. Yeah. You know, if you're like us, it always, like, I see this in workspaces, in projects, and you know, when we work with campaign managers, we're working with different personalities. Mm-hmm. One time you're getting a campaign manager that's nice, one time you're getting a strict, you know, one time business, you know. But with all of these personalities, you get to really see what some people are, like some people, the human side of them.
Yeah.
Bring your humanness to work. If you're public, be public at work. Mm. If you're a strict person, be strict at work with your schedules. You know what I mean? I find having emotional connections to your decision-making so much better because then there's purpose, yeah. You know? I'm not doing things just because I need to get my check. Yeah. And I'm not doing things because if I text my hun, then she won't get angry at me. What? Mm. No, I'm texting her because I want to make her happy.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Isn't that such a better, you know what I mean? Emotional.
Take on life, 100%.
Connection, yeah. So, I don't know. Spoken lady, any comments on limitations? Nothing? She's shaking her head. She's like, I'm good. You guys are spinning. You're doing your thing. The world will always find a new way to tell you that you're not enough. You know? Confidence begins the day you stop asking the world for permission to be like yourself. Mm. The biggest flex isn't looking like you're successful or posting like you're successful or showing the world what you perceive to success being like. The real genuine happiness that will be in your life is the ones that you choose to build intentionally off camera. Yeah. Off camera, off the eyes, for you, made by you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think knowing that like you are successful and believing it is far better. Then you know, posting and then wanting someone to tell you that you're successful.
Yeah, and I want to take this more like 5 seconds because I know it's a bit dramatic of me, but I want to take this like 2 minutes just to be like, yo, bro, if you guys are watching this right now, and you're stressed, you're overwhelmed, you don't know what's happening in your life. You're like, what the hell? Like I'm just everything's just too much, dude. Take a deep breath, and I say this on the podcast quite often, but take a deep breath, put this hand over your chest. Feel that your heart is still beating. So what is your love letter to you after that? Mm. You know what I mean? What type of way are you going to keep this beating for a reason? Mm. Not just to beat because you're... Mm. You know what I mean? Just so important. Like it's going to be okay. It will be okay, but only if you choose. Only if you choose. You know what I mean? That's me for insecurities. I want you to just... Basically, just give your closing summary of what you
watched. I think you closed beautifully, bro.
Really, really. Yeah, okay. Well, then we'll see you guys. But I really just want us to be seated in this. This one's a very quite important episode to me. So please, guys, just help each other out. If someone says, I'm insecure about this, how do I? Please help them. If you know you've overcome that, please, let's be seated together. Mm. So we'll see you guys next time on Seated With. We really appreciate you guys. Please follow us on Leverampedi, our handles, and Tata Rampedi. We will see you guys same seat next time. Bye-bye.
Don't go. Seated.